All right. So, I just gotta say it, Alex. I don't know what I watched with this movie.
Oh, neither do I.
It was really weird.
Yeah, all right. You're listening to Mike's Camera Action. I'm the host, Alex, and with me is my co-host, Carl. Right, and this week we watched Swiss Army Man.
So this movie, I remember it came out like years ago, and I saw the trailer for it.
It was only like 2 years ago now.
Yeah, like 2017 or 2016?
Yeah, 2016, 2017.
Daniel Radcliffe, after like doing Harry Potter, the only time I ever see his face come up on stuff is to be like that weird shit, you know? Like, he always picks up these weird roles that are just like, "What? Why are you in this?"
2016,
there you go.
Yeah, wasn't he in that horror movie?
Which horror movie to which do you refer?
Oh, the multiple? I just remember being in like a period horror movie.
Probably. He was in a weird movie where he played the devil or some shit.
Oh, you're thinking about Horns.
Yep, that was it. He also like had a full frontal nudity scene on stage for some play
that
was
in Equus.
Yeah. But this is like at the height of ridiculousness, I think, for him. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't seen him in a lot of... I haven't seen a lot of his weirder stuff then, I forgot
that he's also in Miracle Workers now, that show that's on Stan.
Oh, yeah, he is. I've seen ads for that.
It was... I'm getting that film up. Oh, it's The Woman in Black.
Oh, I do not know this.
I don't even think it's a period film. I assumed it was. It
just has weird colouring.
Yeah, anyway, he lives in a haunted house, basically, from 2012.
Mm. But when I saw the trailer for this, I was expecting some sort of... I guess even watching the movie, I was expecting the aha moment that never came.
Yeah.
Like, the entire duration of this movie, I was waiting for, like, where's the drop? Where's, like, this stunning revelation of a moment? And then it just didn't happen for the entire duration. There isn't.
No.
It just treats it as if, yeah, he found, like... The plot of the movie is he finds this corpse and it talks to him and it lives and it literally does that.
Yeah.
He's not going crazy the entire fucking time.
Yeah, I when I first saw it and he was like singing the Jurassic Park theme to him.
Yeah.
And he's like, "What's Jurassic Park?"
Mm.
And it's like, "What?" And it like him having to teach him about something. I thought he was just like
going crazy.
Yeah, going crazy, but at the same time regaining his sanity in a weird way.
Okay, like him explaining it, like him explaining how the world works. Yeah, and what pop culture is just him relearning how to live among people again.
Yeah, because like
okay,
yeah, it was just like, and then you've got all this weird stuff happening.
Like yeah, like him.
He made a bus,
dude. So there's a point in this movie where I was sitting here watching him build all this stuff and set up all these elaborate contraptions to teach Manny about like you know what is human, what is life, what does it mean to live, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a point where he's talking about how he's gonna starve to death, and then he starts doing one of those scenes, and I was like, dude, you're expending a lot of energy to show this guy what a city is when you could be trying to get food.
And there's that scene where they make popcorn?
Yeah. There's a lot of weird shit.
It's a lot of weird stuff.
He builds a bus full of people and tries to demonstrate, okay, now here's what it's like to look out the window out of trash.
Yeah.
Which I thought, like, this movie looked really pretty.
Yeah.
Where they blend, like, the woods with just trash, like, just people's garbage in a really good way. I thought it was really pretty in that regard. Like in sort of like a messy way, but it looked It looked unique in that style, you know.
Oh yeah.
It was like watching Man vs. Wild except slightly urbanized.
Yeah. It was just like, what? What's going on here?
Mm.
Why is this a thing?
God damn it. It's so fucking weird. Like the movie starts with him riding a corpse as a jet ski. Let's not forget that's how the movie begins and ends.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
What, at the end is he just kicks him off into the ocean and he speeds off into the sunset?
Yeah, using a dead corpse.
Just, all right, later, Manny. Goodbye. I wish I could show everyone that you could do the things.
Yeah, it's like, this corpse is magic, man. What? God.
This movie also ends like 8 times.
Yeah.
It rivals Return of the King for how many times they decide to end it.
Yeah, like he rocks up and like he's back in society. He rocks up back to his societal sort of place.
Mm.
And he's like, "Oh, is this the ending?"
even like, before that, yeah. like, he's getting mauled by a bear and he's like, I guess I'm going to die now. I guess you are, dude. Later. And then I'm like, well, I guess it's going to end in this morbid way. And then I realize it still had 25 minutes left on the runtime. So then, like, we have, he gets back, like, they show up among society and it's like, all right, cool, they made it. Is that it? Nope, we've still got 20 more minutes. It just keeps
going.
Got
to deal with, like, Manny, not Manny, the other one. What's his name? Hank?
Hank.
Hank being a stalker.
Yeah. I love that moment where it's just like the cop takes the phone up to Sarah and he's just like, he had all these pictures of you on his phone. Do you know the deceased? And she's like, oh my God. Oh my God. And she's just disgusted.
Yeah.
And Hank's sitting there just in front of her in this interview going, oh fuck. Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh God. Her and her husband are right there looking through my phone.
Yeah, it's like, it's my phone.
And he doesn't have the heart to do anything about it.
Yeah, it's really fucked.
Yeah.
And then, like, the thing that gets me the most is the bit with Daniel, where Manny and Hank are wrestling.
Mm.
And so, like, you expect this is where the reveal is going to be, that, like, he's just insane. Like, Manny's still
like, he's
a corpse.
Just throwing around a corpse.
So, like,
yeah.
They cut to Sarah inside the house, like, cooking. Yeah. And they're still wrestling.
Yeah, and yeah, Manny's actually like throwing down with him.
I'm pretty sure Manny talks to the kid.
Yeah, he does.
I don't know.
He legitimately does, and the kid doesn't seem to question that at all.
Yeah, I don't know if the kid responds though. Or is this like Fight Club scenario where like you think that Manny's responding, but it's actually just Hank pretending to be Manny?
I think the movie honestly is just straight up what you see is what you get, which was like the most unexpected outcome, really.
Yeah, I was just like, what? Unless they're both dead? Because like
but
the
how
movie
does that work?
The movie starts with Hank trying to hang himself.
Yeah.
And so you're thinking, I don't know, maybe they're just both dead. Like maybe that's the whole point, is that like
it's all in purgatory. But even yeah. then I don't know what you'd get from them both being dead the whole time. That wouldn't give you any that wouldn't add anything to the
Shut
story.
Up, Carl.
It would just take away from the fact that he's teaching someone how to live.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, the point is he's got to teach Manny to, you know, to live as a human being.
Yeah. My other favorite thing was just, you know, at one point Manny's just like, I wish I were really dead.
You are.
Actually, weirdest thing to happen in that film.
Okay, because I have something else, but you go on.
Is Daniel Radcliffe's dead body get an erection.
Okay, because I had an addendum to that.
Okay.
Which is when they finally get, like, pop up in Sarah's backyard, and they're talking to her daughter, and then Daniel Radcliffe is trying to show that he's alive and pops a boner. And then Hank just punches him right in the dick. Like, just fucking full ball, like, hits him on the knob. It's so fucking dumb.
Yeah, that was
really
bad.
Fucking like there's a moment where you're like, oh God, this has gone too far.
This man has popped a boner
in front of a child.
Why? Oh God. I completely forgot about that.
Rams him right in the dick.
What was going on in this film?
Oh my God. I know. I keep saying this is fucking weird.
Yeah, this film is nothing but like halfway to an acid trip. I'm going to look up who the director was because I don't remember.
The Daniels.
The Daniels?
So it was Daniel something and Dan something is what I remember. It was like a two-person job.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because I'm pretty sure at the beginning of the film they're just credited as a film by the Daniels.
Let's see. What else have they done? There's a film called Interesting Ball, and that's the only other thing they've done.
Interesting Ball. Interesting.
Yeah, I think they work together as just being the Daniels.
Yeah, which is interesting, but sure.
People also sexual. Daniel Radcliffe. Yeah, I see why. Oh, they have their own Wikipedia article, but it's together. Huh. Oh, they did the music video. They did the music video for Turn Down for What?
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, Swiss Army Man is the only full-length film they've done.
Okay.
Hmm. Yep.
There you go, directorial debut.
God. Yeah, it's such a weird film.
I know, right? This is some, like, I feel like the fact that it's literal is somehow weirder than if he were dead the whole time. Like,
yeah,
that's the weirdest thing. The fact it's just like, yeah, he did use a corpse to ride as a jet ski across the Pacific Ocean.
Shave his beard.
Yeah, used his teeth to shave his beard. Stuck Mentos in its mouth to shoot fish in order to eat, and chopped logs with his face. That's the weirdest part, is that it all happened, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, it all like abs actually happened, and it's like, what?
Yeah.
Why did it go into this film?
Honestly, one of the like sadder parts of this film is straight up towards the end. When his dad finally, like, when they call his dad and he shows up and just doesn't even look at the body, he's just like, yeah, it's probably my son, and then just walks off.
Yeah.
And he's like, by the car crying, and then you've got Hank sitting there like, he has that moment where he hasn't been seen, he's been hiding around the van, and he just has that moment of like, do I do anything about this?
Yeah, and the bit where they're talking about how they have an automatic e-card thing set up. So whenever it's his dad's birthday, he gets sent one from like him, and whenever it's his birthday, his dad sends like one from his dad.
They have literally no contact with each other aside from like saying happy birthday, and that's automated from both of them. Yeah. It's the saddest thing.
Yeah, and he's like every year, even after even if I'm dead, every year my dad's just gonna get happy birthday.
For the rest of his life, he's gonna get happy birthday from me, whether he knows it or not.
Yeah.
That's so sad that there's such a like poor relationship there.
Also kind of sweet if you're dead, so every year you get, like, a happy birthday from, like, a dead relo.
I feel like that's not...
Depending on who it is.
I know. That...
Depending on, like, what it is. Like, because I've read things about, like, people's parents, like, leaving them notes.
Mm.
Like, when they've, like, known they're about to die as a kid and stuff.
But the idea of it just being an automated system that does it for... Like, being, like, a letter said like sent to a person after you're dead, that's one thing.
Yeah, but like an automated thing is kind of fucked.
Yeah, just being like this website sends one on my behalf every year, they just do it themselves.
Yeah.
That's kind of depressing and fucked up. Yeah. It's just like, oh, there's my dead son sending me a card again. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Like at that point, just put it in your spam, man, because that's just something you don't need.
Yeah, true.
Like, it's just a reminder. Yeah, it's just a reminder that your kid didn't try to make his own birthday cards to you.
Yeah, it's like I like how he's like, yeah, we're just gonna become one of those people that calls each other on the birthday.
Yeah, and then he didn't even do that.
No, right? Daniel Radcliffe off into the sunset.
Dude, the fucking ending where he's just like. It's just the most dramatic this dramatic moment where it's like they're handcuffing him and taking him away from the corpse. And then he's just like, fuck it, let out, man. And then just farts in front of the cop. It's like the least dignified thing you could possibly do in that moment. It's just like, yeah, they're arresting you because you carried a corpse, you know, all the way to the ocean, you dumbass. And then he's just like, right in front of the guy.
Yeah, it's really weird. The soundtrack in this is actually pretty good.
Mm.
I actually quite enjoyed it.
I liked it too.
Trying to like, I know they had Cotton Eye Joe in there and stuff.
He's just singing Cotton Eye Joe, like they've both got the sound that song stuck in their heads.
Apparently, the music was composed before the shoot started.
Really?
And they were playing it on the set.
Oh, that's actually quite clever, though.
Yeah,
it means they can sync it up, like, you know, as they're shooting. That's an interesting.
Yeah,
thing.
I think
the character, because part of it is. He does hum a lot of the music. Like, they do hum a lot of the music.
They spend Daniel Radcliffe spends a lot of time singing.
Yeah.
Because he sits on the bus and Hank comes up to him and is like, no, you can't sing. Don't sing on the bus. You got to listen to your music.
Weirdo.
And he puts in, like, rubber pencil erasers into his ears as headphones. Mm. And you just hear Daniel Radcliffe singing Cotton Eye Joe. Yeah. But, like, I really... It's a really downbeat. It's, like, it's not, like, the really upbeat.
Where did you come from? Where did you go?
No, it's even slower than it's like, if I'd been married, long if it hadn't been ago. For Cotton Eye Joe, I'd be married a long time ago. And it's like something really slow, and it's like, what? Mm. It's such a really bizarre.
Mm.
Yeah, I didn't... apparently, they went through 5 different Sundance Institute labs, including one for mixing all the fart effects into in Dolby Atmos.
What?
Yep.
Good God.
Apparently people walked out of the cinema at Sundance.
It doesn't shock me.
People were like, what the fuck is this? And just left.
It wouldn't shock me if someone just did that like 5 minutes in. It's like, all right, so what have I seen so far? I've seen this guy tried to hang himself on a desert island, and then he rides Daniel Radcliffe's corpse out by farting. Later.
Yeah, it was certainly a bizarre film.
The beginning sets you up for either the worst film of all time or something brilliant.
The director's also won Best Director for Directing Award in the US Dramatic Category at the 2016 Sundance Film Festival.
Okay.
So, like, it's a well-received film. It's a well-made film. Don't get us wrong.
No, it's good.
This is a really good, really fucking bizarre film.
I don't want people to get put off by the idea of me saying it's fucking weird, because it is, because I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I liked what I saw for a good portion of it.
Yeah.
But I still think it's a bit weird.
Yeah. I spent the entire time going, what?
Yeah. It does throw... That's the thing. This movie does throw a lot of curveballs at you.
Yeah.
It's like, I really didn't know where it's going to go.
Curveball. They walk out of the woods and it's behind Sarah's house.
Yeah. That's true. They fight the grizzly bear, then emerge out, like, in Sarah's backyard.
Yeah, that's like...
Of all of the backyards in all of America, they walk into hers.
Yeah, it's like, wait, how lost were you? This can't be that lost. This is fucking suburbia.
You want to know how, like, not, the weirdest thing about how not lost they were is immediately after he walks out of the news interview and grabs May's corpse off the gurney and rides down, like, 1 minute of screen time later, they're at the beach.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, he's been doing, like, this weird zigzag all the way up to, like, suburbia.
I think because he's insane.
I mean, probably.
I think he's fucking lost it. I think that's the point, is that, like, he's lost it, and that's why Manny talks.
Yeah. They literally, like, in the process of chasing him, they find, like, all of the stuff he's built.
Yeah.
Like, they've gone this massive journey together. Of like this huge bonding experience across, you know, what you think would be miles and miles of woods. And it must have been like all in a backyard span. Like, they crossed a stream together. They've built like this, they built like this party. They, you know, he's got a replica of his family.
They built
like
a fucking bus.
There's a house with like all these guests in it. And then they just see it all and they just walk past it. And sure enough, it's a little bit, it's still like Sarah's going through it and going, okay, this is all a bit creepy.
Yeah.
Because it's still got like depictions of her.
And it's
her
in
her
fucking backyard.
Yeah, and exactly. It's all behind her house.
Yeah, it's like, how much do you think he was just stalking her and then just fucking lost it?
Maybe.
Like, fuck.
I mean, it is weird to have your like phone's lock screen be the person you saw on the bus.
Yeah, like, what's your phone lock screen?
My phone lock screen is Magnus the Rad.
I'm sorry? What's this from?
So that's a character from... That's a 40K character who is, like, called Magnus the Red, but instead they've given him sunglasses.
And made him Magnus the Rad.
The Rad. What's your lock screen?
It's literally just a picture of me talking...
So, that's actually really amazing. So, Alex's wallpaper...
is me looking, like, absolutely cooked because I ate a habanero. I sent it... It's a screenshot that someone took of a Snapchat I sent them, and it's when I said, don't eat habaneros raw, kids.
It is Alex just at his worst.
Yeah, that's my lock screen now.
Fair enough. So maybe we're not the majority of people, but at the same time, I don't think like you had Subway guy as your wallpaper for a while,
yeah,
which is like your coworker.
Yeah, one of my coworkers.
But that's someone you know.
Yeah,
that's a whole lot less weird.
I mean, my lock my home screen is just a Snapchat one of my friends sent me that says "Hi, friend" in a really close up angle.
That's kind of sweet.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I don't have any, like, it's definitely not someone I saw on the fucking bus.
Yeah, not someone I'm obsessing about because of it. And not only that, Hank obsesses over her, and then he gets Manny to obsess over her, and Manny gets more obsessed than he does over her.
Yeah, and then they get mad.
Yeah.
But then again, he feeds Manny a bunch of lies about who Sarah is to him, and it's like, what? Why are you doing this?
He puts a lot of, like... I don't even know how I'd describe that. He puts a lot of, like, assuming that Manny is some sort of godsend creature because he's given him the water and he's given him power to get off that island. He's assuming that somehow, like Manny's gonna guide him back to civilization, which he kind of does through his person-seeking dong, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of that. But even then, so he's assuming that maybe Manny knows Sarah in some way, and that's somehow... And somehow this is, like, his way of, like, get... Like, somehow Manny's, like, sent by God or whatever to guide him to Sarah and all that kind of stuff. And that just turns out that no. No at all.
Manny's just a dude.
He's just a corpse.
You never actually find anything else about Manny while he was alive.
We didn't find anything about him at all.
No.
The only thing we get is, like, when they're, like, putting him in the body bag and zipping him up, they just mention that, like, sure enough, his body must have washed up ashore. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, just all they say is that, like, yeah, corpses wash up ashore. It can happen. That's it.
Maybe he jumped off a bridge or something.
Mm.
Yeah, we don't know.
I know they mentioned that, like, yeah, I don't think they ever tell what killed him.
Yeah.
They do mention, like, oh, well, I think all the scratches and abrasions were post-mortem, so it looks like he was telling the truth. And then that's kind of their excuse for why there isn't a police investigation.
Yeah.
Because I was really expecting, like, the end of this movie to be he shows up in civilized society and then everyone assumes he's killed a guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's just going to end up... Like, I was assuming he was going to be wrestling Manny and then someone's going to go, oh, my God, he's killed a person. And then he'd just be hauled off to jail.
Yeah.
And that would be the movie. I was waiting... That's the thing. This fucking movie. I was waiting for the ending to be something it wasn't. I was waiting for the drop. There was a drop that just never happened.
Yeah, no. You're
so weird. I don't know.
It's like DJ Snake yelled out, turn down for what? And then he just keeps yelling, turn down for what?
Turn down for what?
Turn down for what?
No, seriously, what?
Yeah, and that's the film. That's legit the film. There's no drop, but I kind of liked that. It had me going, what's happening next?
Yeah.
Like, what goes? Like, wait, Manny is alive, maybe?
Yeah. Oh, he's starting to get life. He's walking. He's
wrestling the man on the...
I was convinced he was going to, like... Once again, this fucking movie ends 8 times. I was convinced he just killed himself to, like, he gets up and walks, starts crawling, and then punches the fire and explodes. And I was like, oh, that's the end of him, huh? Nope, yep. All right, we're still going. Puts him out, and I'm ready to go again.
Don't know why.
And then he kept living until he just dies after being punched in the dick.
Yeah.
I can't fucking believe
dick
it.
Dick punch.
Just whack.
Dick
dude,
punch.
Nope. Second time he punches Manny, like, really hard, and it's in the dick.
Yeah, it's like in the, what is it? I think it's the Onion movie. They have cock puncher.
The Onion movie? What?
Yeah, it was the Onion made a movie like ages ago.
I've never heard of this.
It was in 2008. It was just a whole bunch of skits, like sort of.
Okay.
Steven Seagal plays cock puncher.
Cock puncher. Yeah. What is a cock puncher, do Alex?
Punch him in the dick. That was the gimmick, is that like his whole thing was it was Steven Seagal, but he was just punching people in the dick.
Dick puncher, puncher of dicks.
It was filmed in 2003 and released in 2008.
Damn, man, they held that footage for a while.
Yeah, it's the Onion News television broadcast show, and it's like...
I'm going to see this sometime.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. The film is interrupted fictitiously by film reviewers and commentators weighing in on the progress of the film, with one commentator preparing to stage an immediate walkout of all African-American audience members unless a positive portrayal of African-Americans is inserted into the film. And then I'm pretty sure they do that. Pretty sure that happens.
Oh my God. I do love The Onion for some of their stuff. It's really funny.
There's just some weird fucking shit in this. Oh, man, I really want to go back and watch this again. It's been so long since I watched it.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's certainly a weird film. If you ever manage to get your hands on a copy, let's watch it.
Okay. I'll keep an eye out.
I just remember the only time you see cock puncher is like during an ad, like for the film Cock Puncher, but then cock puncher just rocks up.
What?
Yeah, it's the fucking Onion movie, man.
All right, sure. I'll take it.
Anyway, back to Swiss Army Man.
Swiss Army Man, though. Jesus. Cock puncher.
I mean, he's watched the Onion movie. You've seen it. He knows what it's about.
It's all about those dick I mean, it's one way to kill a boner.
Yeah, punch him in the dick.
Just hit him in the dick.
It's a Charlie Sheen-sized boner from a Scary Movie 4.
Almost.
Man, that was a fucked thing as well.
Yeah. What? You know what? Watch this. Although this movie has an R, I'm pretty sure this movie has an R18 rating because of that.
Oh, is
like,
it?
Yeah, because of all the references to, like, one, the fact that there's a guy lugging a dead body around. Two, the fact that this is, like, heavy on the sexual references. Like, they have a whole discussion about jerking off.
That could only get several times. Rating.
Hmm. Also, there's, like, a small amount of gore in this movie that's, like, kind of real. Like, it really fucking hits. Like when Hank gets scratched by that bear, I was like, holy fuck!
Yeah.
Like, it hits hard in that scene.
Yeah.
Once again, proof why I'd never want to fuck with a bear. Bears are, like, of all the animals, that's the one I least want to fuck around with.
You sure, man?
Those things are fucking terrifying, dude. Have you seen The Revenant?
No. Right. It's rated M in Australia.
Okay. Really? Only M?
Yeah.
Guess we have some... I mean, also, I guess that was the US rating, which is... You know, the US is not particularly kind to sexual references.
Yeah. And then the US goes, like, what? PG-13, R, yeah. NC-17.
And PG-13 for, hey, you got a whole bunch of gore, whatever. Violence is cool, kids, but don't have sex.
Yeah, let's discuss rating systems like yeah, another day.
Yeah, that's not bother. That's a big discussion, though.
It's interesting. It's certainly interesting because, yeah, there are definitely some differences in the way things are rated.
Oh, every like culture has different, you know, different systems.
Like,
and
if it's got drugs in it, Australia's like, hey, no drugs.
Australia's a hard no on that.
Yeah, especially in video games.
Oh yeah, dude. I'll quickly throw this out there. Like, State of Decay was kept out of Australia for ages, like months, maybe almost a year. Just because there were items in the game that were just the name of drugs, like amoxicillin,
yeah,
like that kind of, like just ibuprofen, that kind of stuff, and they were just like, nah, hard no, just kept out. And then the only change they needed to make was just change those, and it was just so fucking long to kept out of the country.
The there's an entire scene, and I think it's Stick of Truth, the South Park game that's not allowed in Australia.
That's because Australia also is not okay with sexual violence.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's fair, though.
So anal probing is a hard no.
Yeah, I didn't realize what it was. I thought it was another drug thing.
There's two scenes in the South Park game that are, like, just blocked in Australia.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they just cover it up with koalas or something, and this isn't
It's a crying koala.
Yeah.
And it's got, like, the text describing in, like, graphic detail exactly what's going on. The first scene is there's an anal probe in it, and the second is an alien abortion.
Oh my god, that's kind of fucked up.
Yeah. And there's supposed to be like a mini game in that, and they're just like, hey, this is the part where you would perform an alien abortion, but that's not happening in your country. Sorry, here's a sad koala. And it's playing like didgeridoo music over it.
I think I know Saints Row 4.
Saints Row 4 was the same. It was because sexual violence, which is just, once again, the anal probe weapon.
Okay.
That's it. It's an alien probe with like a tongue on it that you just... Yeah, it's supposed to be a man. It's literally that. Saints Row has some weird options. Saints Row was delayed for several months because of that as well.
Yeah, I think We Happy Few had to jump through a few holes.
Really?
Yeah, because the entire thing is about drug use.
Oh, okay.
The entire point of the game is that you take the drug.
Yeah.
Or you don't take the drug.
There's no option in Australia.
Yeah.
The drug is censored.
Yeah, like, the whole thing is that you've got to blend in by taking this drug.
That's really... I've seen the start of that game where, like, the whole point is you're playing, like, a newsprint censor, like, censorship-type role where you're just covering up, like, articles and saying, this is a yes, this is a no. It's really ironic that in a game where that's the plot of the movie, or that's the plot of the game, that would be censored.
Yeah, no, the game is, like, super dark, though. Like,
oh, yeah.
You don't take the drug, and the pinata you're beating up is actually a rabbit.
Yeah.
That you've beaten up.
Yeah. I have seen the E3 trailer. I know that much.
Yeah.
Just the opening of the game.
Yeah, it's... but anyway, So, yeah, this film is rated M.
Yeah.
So take your kids... Take your teens
to see Susami Men this week.
Don't take your kids, though.
Don't take your children. Especially not your 5-year-old daughter that's just witnessing a man wrestling with a corpse who was also wrestling with him.
Yo, she's poor child, waiting for that Chrissy. Other perspective.
Yeah, just waiting for someone other than Hank to
them. The only other point of view we got was with that one time that they flashed it out to, and, like, the kitchen, and they were still wrestling.
And that's the thing. Like, Manny chooses the exact moment after, like, once someone other than Hank or a child shows up to die, like, to stay dead. And so everyone doesn't believe him, obviously, until he starts farting off into the sunset. And everyone's like, all right, well, that was fucking weird. What now? Like, what do you even do after that? It's like, I guess the kid was right. He did ride on a man's fart. Sure. And so Manny sped off into the distance to eventually find someone else stranded in the Pacific.
Yeah. It's now just Tom Cruise, Castaway.
Tom Cruise or Tom Hanks?
Oh, Tom Hanks.
Tom Cruise is going to be in the next one. He's going to be recast just like the Mummy.
Oh.
Oh, shit. Should we do that now?
Yeah.
Let's just call it.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Tom Cruise being cast in a different role, next week we're looking at The Mummy, except we're not doing the one with Tom Cruise. We're doing the OG 1999 The Mummy with Brendan Fraser.
Not the OG one from 1932, the OG one from 1999.
Good God, there's so many fucking iterations of The Mummy.
I mean, the 1932 one was the original Mummy.
Yeah, but I'm assuming there's some sort of origin before that even in some sort of like, in some sort of story. Like, those movies typically comes from somewhere.
Probably.
Like, it is a monster movie like Vampire, like Swamp Thing. Like, those all come from somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, like, I would argue that, like, yeah, there's some sort of story, but at the same time, 1932 was probably around the peak of...
I think we'll have to look into that at some point, just see where the origin story of the mummy as a monster comes from.
Yeah.
Because that's something I've always wondered about, why is a bandaged-up corpse such a prolific monster?
Yeah, I think it's due to a lot of the fact that there's a lot of like warnings on tombs in Egypt. Yeah. Like it's like if you break this, you go to hell.
Yeah,
and then you've also got all the stuff from like the Tutankhamun curse thing.
Yeah, that's true. Fair enough. So next week, join us for The Mummy.